All right, welcome those who are watching online, those in the room. We are continuing our summer series through the life of Jacob and learning all about him as he's trying to learn to do what we all try to learn to do, and that trust what God is doing in our life, or as we've called it, trust the story that God is writing in our life. And that's always a challenge. It's always hard because God just has a way of working and making us feel really uncomfortable at times and pushing us to get us to the point where we're really ready to trust him in all that he's doing and all that he's about. And that's what we followed along in the life of Jacob. He's trying to trust the story, and he's struggling with some things. He's wondering what God is doing. And now he's to a really critical point where he's not sure what's going to happen. He just knows that he's been the catalyst for a lot of this, and he needs to deal with it. So last week, I believe that's why he was wrestling with God. He was contending with what's been happening in his life, and he's finally ready to submit to doing things God's way, which means this week it's all about fixing what he was mainly responsible for breaking, and that was the relationship with his brother Esau. And one of the things I really want us to get out of this morning is that God is a God who loves to reconcile relationships. That is why he did everything he did, so that we could have a right relationship with him. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you've done or how bad you think you've been or there's no way God could love you. No, that is why he sent his son Jesus to die in our place and rise again for our salvation, because he wanted to be right with us. So he provided the whole path, the whole way, and he says, okay, I've done everything. I've taken all the steps I can towards you. I need you to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. This thing reconcile is really important, and I think this is what God wants to do in lots of different places. In broken relationships, he would love to bring this idea of to reconcile, to bring it back, to make it right again. And this is why this is such a critical moment in Jacob's life. Is he going to let God do this? What's going to happen? He doesn't know. And I want you to see how he approaches this. And we're just going to look at this idea that this is what God's all about. And so Jacob finally gets on the agenda of God. Let's reconcile. Let's make things right. I broke this. I did this wrong. I made this mess. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to own my stuff. I'm going to own what I did wrong. And I'm going to ask God to intercede and work. Because part of what he doesn't know, that we know because we can read ahead in the story, is that God has already been working in Esau's life. That God's already been doing things. See, this is what we don't know. We don't know what God's doing on the other side of that broken relationship. We don't know. We don't know if God's speaking to them, if God has helped them, if God has had the same sermon be preached to them at some point. We don't know any of this stuff. So we kind of walk into maybe a moment where we're face-to-face with somebody, we're in a broken relationship with, and we're like, okay, God, what are you going to do in the midst of this? And what we don't know is what God has been doing in them throughout this whole thing. So here we go. We're going to be in Genesis 33 today. 3 through 11 is kind of the simple part of this story that I want us just to read and kind of grasp this morning of what God wants to do and why God loves to take broken relationships and put them back together. And that's one of the hallmarks of what it means to follow Jesus. And that doesn't mean it always goes well. That doesn't mean the person on the other side of that broken relationship is always like, oh, yes, let's just fix this. They might want nothing to do with you. But you've done your part. You've owned your stuff. You've walked along that line. And now you're going to trust that God has a plan in and through this. So here we go. Jacob himself went on ahead of them. So remember, he lines everybody up. It's kind of a weird scenario because he doesn't know what Esau's doing. Esau's coming with 400 people. And he's just not thinking, wow, there's 400 people who want to see me. He's just thinking, no, this is bad. This is an army, okay? They're going to come and wipe me out. And if they wipe us all out, okay, and it's kind of weird he does this, I'm going to put my favorite people all the way in the back so they might be able to escape. That's what he does. But I want you to see what Jacob does. Jacob's not hiding in the back. He's out in front of everybody else. But Jacob himself went on ahead of them. And he bowed toward the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. By the way, that is a signal of completeness. I am completely humble. I am coming before you. Please, let's work on this. That's when you see that word 7, think completeness. Complete humbleness and humility. He's ready to come and approach his brother. But Esau just attacked him and wiped them all out. Nope, that's not the story. But Esau ran to meet him. He embraced him. He hugged his neck and kissed him. Then they both wept. Do you think Jacob was expecting that? No. Because he's thinking, what, 400 people, this is bad. Esau probably still hates me. He's probably reliving that scene over and over in his mind the day he said, I'm going to kill him. There's probably been about 20 years since then. 20 years since then that he has no idea what's happened in Esau. He has no idea what God has done in his life. And we're really not told a whole bunch. But this approach tells us a lot. That Esau is ready to reconcile and longs to see Jacob. And he runs after him. He hugs him. He kisses him. They both weep. When Esau looked up and saw the women and the children, he asked, who are these people with you? Jacob replied, the children whom God has graciously given your servants. The female servants came forward with their children. They bowed down. Leah came forward with her children. They bowed down. And finally, Joseph and Rachel came forward, and they also bowed down. And Esau then asked, what did you intend by sending all these herds to me? So the beginning part of the story sends like all this stuff to his brother, right? Just imagine, he went on Amazon and said, what would my brother like, okay? And maybe Esau had a wish list, okay? You know how to do that? Which is just a secret way of saying, see, this is what I really want. Go buy it, okay? That's what the wish list is. So maybe he had a wish list, and Jacob wish went on and went, click, 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 click. I got lots of money. I got to fix this thing. And he just clicked it all. That's what he does. He takes everything he has of value, and he sends a lot of it to Esau in order to say, I've been wrong. I want to make this right. He says, what did you intend by sending all these herds to meet me? Jacob replied, to find favor in your sight. Again, I have been wrong. I took from you. Because he's realizing what? Taking your birthright and your blessing, I stole quite a bit from you. I took quite a bit from you. And I'm beginning to understand how much that was that I took. I didn't take just some simple, you're the firstborn, you know, certificate. I took something significant from you. And this is really important. When you reconcile with somebody, it isn't saying, oh, let's just pretend that never happened. Nope, that doesn't work. You all need to know that. That doesn't work. And by the way, that's not how God works with us either. Oh, we're just going to pretend it never happened. No, he says what? Come to me. I'm going to forgive everything you've ever done. Everything that you've ever done. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to be ashamed of it. I'm going to forgive it all and erase it all. So when you reconcile with someone, when God puts a broken relationship back together, it isn't just saying, oh yeah, let's just forget how much you took from me. Let's just forget how you stole everything from me. Let's just forget how you cut me off over and over and over and over again. No, it's saying all of that. And Jacob here's acknowledging, I've taken from you, and I'm trying to make some sort of restitution back to that. How important is that? Because it's showing Jacob's heart. I was wrong. I took. And listen, he could have showed up and said, listen, Esau, God wanted me to have this anyway, so sorry, you're out of luck. All right, he could have done that. My mom told me she had this dream, and God told her that it was all mine anyway, so I just took what was mine. He could have made so many excuses why he did what he did, except he showed up, and he took responsibility, and he owned it, and said, I messed up. I messed up, and let's fix this. And he said, I just want to find favor in your sight. But Esau said, I have plenty, my brother. Keep what belongs to you. And he says, no, please take them. Jacob said, if I found favor in your sight, accept my gift from my hands. Now that I've seen your face and you've accepted me as if I have seen the face of God, this is so good that what was broken is now back together. This is what he's just proclaiming. This is so good. I had no idea what this is going to be like. I heard you had 400 people. Because we know the conversation was a lot bigger than this. I knew you had 400 people, and Esau, I thought you were showing up to wipe me out. But gosh, this is such a blessing that God would take something that was broken and put it back together again. And it's what God can do. Please take my presence that was brought to you, for God has been generous to me, and I want to be generous to you. And all I have all I need. And when Jacob urged him, he finally said, okay, fine. He's just like shoving it on him. Take it. Take it. because he wants to do whatever he can to take what is broken and make it right. So I want us to think about a couple things, and I'm going to hit these questions probably pretty quick and then dive into the lessons, because they're so important to understand this whole idea of reconciliation. How does Jacob approach Esau? I've kind of pointed it out to you, right? He didn't show up there with a bunch of excuses. He didn't show up there going, well, God told me I could do this, right? He's not blaming anybody. He's not, well, you know, mom had this dream, so it's okay. He's not trying to excuse his behavior. This is really important. You want to work and see what is broken become right again. Don't show up with a bunch of excuses. Like, that never works. Did that ever work with you, right? Did that ever work with you? That someone came to you and just gave you a bunch of excuses. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry at work yesterday. I yelled and screamed at you and went off on you. But you don't understand what that, right? And then it's just excuse, excuse, excuse. So are you really sorry you did that? Are you sorry you stole from me? Are you sorry you took that? Or are you just going to give excuses to say, well, everybody does it. That excuse comes up all the time. Well, everybody does that. Everybody's like that. Everybody acts like that. No, he doesn't approach him that way. He approaches him very differently. In total humility, what can we do to make this, what is broken, right again? Are you surprised at the response of Esau? Because I am. I mean, you just read it and you're like, whoa. He's not mad. I mean, he got a lot. We don't understand. I don't even fully understand this text. To understand how much was taken from him. Because we don't have a culture like that. Our system didn't work like that. You weren't told in your house. Of course, I'm not the firstborn, so it didn't matter anyway. But you weren't told, right? All the firstborns in the room watching online, you weren't told, you're the firstborn. You get everything, right? You get everything, okay? Probably didn't work that way in your house, okay? Probably everybody tried to share, tried to be even, tried to give equally. I mean, that's normally how it goes. It doesn't go, we're going to give a huge portion to the firstborn, and you're to make sure everybody else is taken care of. It doesn't work that way anymore. But in their culture, it did. So it's hard for us to understand what was taken from him, what Jacob took from Esau. All the blessing, all the finances, all the money, all the livestock. It's just hard for us to kind of wrap around it. So when you begin to think even a little bit about what he took, you're like, wow, I don't know about you, but if I was Esau, I'd be pretty mad. I'd be pretty upset. And just so you understand something, time does not heal all wounds. Don't think that's what's happening here. 20 years later, Esau's like, it's no big deal. Please do not fall for that lie. Time does not heal all wounds. God heals all wounds. And sometimes we just forget that. And we think, it's been 20 years. No, in that 20 years, God had time to work. God had time to work in Jacob and say, Jacob, what are you doing? This is not the way it works. This is not how I want to work in you. This is not how I want things to go. This is not how it needs to be. And he could work on Jacob so Jacob could think, hey, there's a different way to operate in the world than what I've been doing. And at the same time, you could work on Esau. Hey, Esau, what would it be like to see Jacob again? Maybe you don't want to kill him anymore. Maybe it's softened a little bit. Maybe you can learn this thing called forgiveness. Maybe you can learn to forgive what has happened to you and what was taken from you. And he begins, God is working on both sides of the equation. And we notice that in the response. Because if Esau, any other response is going to be, you took from me, you stole from me, come on, give it back. And it would take more and more and more to make things equal. So obviously God has done something in the life of Esau that he has responded this way. Does this story, and I will get to this in a bit, does this story remind you of another story? Does this remind you of something? I'll give you a little clue. That something I read and I thought was really interesting. Does this remind you of something that gets talked about in the New Testament by Jesus? Just kind of let that sit in your mind for a moment and let's talk about some life applications. It takes humility to see reconciliation take place. That's what you need to know. If you want to see a broken relationship restored, it takes humility. It takes approaching somebody as Jacob approaches Esau. not with a bunch of excuses, not with I'm right, not with watch what I'm going to do. It takes humility, okay? I have been wrong in some of this. I want to take what is broken and make it right again. Now, I will remind you again, there is no guarantee. Jacob does not know what his brother is about to do. You don't know what that family member of yours is going to do that you haven't spoken to in years. And the last time you did, it was at that holiday and it was at that blow up that you don't talk about anymore when you get together as a family for those holidays. You don't talk about that year. That year was bad. It got out of hand. It got out of control. Things were said and you haven't talked since. You have no idea. I understand. It's a huge risk. It's a trust. Ah, there's our word again. We got to trust that God can work in someone else's life and take what is broken and put it back together again. But I'm telling you, it takes humility. It takes humility. It does. You need to know that reconciliation is God's idea, and he invites us into that ministry. Now, these are Paul's words, and I need you to see this, because while this is a great story about reconciliation, you need to know that Jesus comes to do reconciliation. And then he looks at all of us and says, oh, hey, you my followers, I want you to be about this. I want you to be about reconciliation. So look at these two verses from 2 Corinthians. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and he says this. And all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So God has a plan. God has a plan in order to take the broken relationship that is started because we are born sinners. He has a plan to take what is broken and put it back together again. God had a plan all the way through. It started in Genesis chapter 3, and he started with Abraham, and he went through, and the Israelite nation comes forth, Jesus, and Jesus dies in our place and rises again for our salvation. And Paul is saying God's entire plan through Christ was to fix what was broken. He came to fix what was broken. So our broken relationship with God is fixed through Christ. Now he continues, because that's not the end. And who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, so now God looks and says, so I've done it. Now this is an example. Now you're supposed to be about this. We're like, really? I don't know if I want to be about that. I want to be about making broken relationships whole. This is what God's about. And this is what he's asked you and I to be a part of. And it doesn't mean it all works out perfectly. Oh, come on. Come on. This is not a Hallmark movie. This is real life, okay? It's not going to go perfectly. You're not going to sit around a campfire singing Kumbaya and everything's going to be wonderful again, okay? There might be some tense moments in this. They might look at you. They might take your friend request from Facebook and go, no way, no way, uh-uh. I have nothing to do with you right now. You might get rejected once, twice, three times, or more. You're like, oh, this is hard. And how many people reject God all the time? How many? Lots. And you and I are all in that club of rejecting him at some point. We've all been there. We've all done that. And does God say, well, I quit. I quit. You people are too hard. You're too difficult. And I want to take what's broken and put it back together. Why wouldn't you just partner with me? Nope. Do it over and over and over again, hoping that you will then accept that gift. And now, if you're a follower of mine, Jesus says, you're in this ministry of reconciliation. In other words, Paul says, in case you missed all of that, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. He did everything that needed to be done. Just a okay by us. That's it. An okay by us. Not counting people's trespasses, their sins against them, and he has given us the message of reconciliation. He doesn't count it against us. He counted all to Christ, and he says, do you understand? You are totally forgiven. The broken relationship has been fixed if you will just say yes, and we can have a relationship all over again. Please, I have done everything possible, including the death of Christ on the cross, in order that we could be made right again. So let me ask you this. Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? This is hard, isn't it? This is really hard. okay? Because there is a part of us that want to be right. Yeah, but Ed, if we could sit down and have coffee. I could just explain this to you. What happened 15 years ago at that family event? And I was right, okay? I was right. I said the right things. I said it the right way. I was right, darn it. And I'm not giving up on that, okay? And the question is, do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? Okay? And it takes nothing away from the truth when we do that. But if that's what we're going to do, I was right. And this is what we have trenched ourselves into this, folks. We have trenched ourselves into this, okay? Think about the last time married couples this happened in your house, okay? Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Because sometimes you can't do both, okay? And you have enough humility to say, okay, all right, it's less important for me to be right than it is for us to be married and have a relationship. Is it less or more that you want to be right, or do you want to fix what has been broken in that relationship? And I know this is hard. This is hard. And we all know social media is where we go to proclaim how right we are. That's where we go, right? And we want people to like us and love it. And this is awesome. I'm glad you said that. And we draw up our little sides and I'm right and you're wrong. And sometimes I'm just asking, is that what we want over being in a restored relationship with somebody else? What is it? Do you want to be right? Is that the highest goal of your life? I'm going to be right no matter what. And I'm not budging. Or do we want to actually be reconciled? Not talking about not, please don't think you're hearing something you're not. It's not throughout the Bible. Anything goes. Okay. I'm just asking. Are we just going to stand and be right? Are we going to try to be reconciled and have a broken relationship healed with somebody else? This story, I read this. You can take this for what it's worth. This story might be the basis for the story of the prodigal son. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, first off, you're going to say, wait a minute. Okay? In Luke 15, where you find the story, we know there's two groups of people there. There are what are called the sinners, the tax collectors, right? They just messed up their entire life. They kept doing things wrong. And then there's the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Man, we do everything right. We're amazing, okay? So you have those two groups. And both those groups are in front of Jesus. So he starts telling stories about things that are lost and become found. And then he gets to the story of the prodigal son. And in that story, isn't it interesting? The younger brother leaves. Oh, Jacob, what did he do? He left, okay? Wasn't on good terms with the older brother. But when he comes back, what would we expect? We'd expect, and they would have expected in his day, if Jesus is retelling the story of Jacob and Esau, that the older brother's going to come out of the house, and he's going to be the one to welcome his brother back. And he's going to put his arms around him, and he's going to kiss him, and he's going to say, I am so glad you are back. And they're going to weep together. But that doesn't happen in Jesus' story, does it? And it's almost like Jesus says, do you know what you guys, you teachers of the law, you Pharisees, because they're the older brother, very clear. They're the older brother, because the younger brother is over here, the tax collectors, the sinners. They're the ones that are lost. They're the ones that lost. They're the ones that went away and just lived however they want to live and did whatever they want to do. So he looks and he says, you know what, you guys over here and all your laws and all your, I'm holier than everybody else. Do you know what you were supposed to do? You were supposed to come over here and love on them and try to be reconciled with them. But you didn't do that, did you? You stayed in the house and you refused. So what if Jesus' point is, so I came and I left the house and I went and found them and I started the process of reconciliation? What if Jesus' whole point in all of that was, if you're not going to reconcile, I'm about that and that's why I came. And I want everybody who follows me to be about taking things that were lost and people who left and people who are broken and messed up and putting it back together. What if that's a whole story where Jesus is trying to get us to be on the same page he is and be about the ministry of reconciliation? Because the story of the prodigal son, it's always safe to come home. The Father loves it when people come home, when those who are lost come home. He loves it. He rejoices over it. He runs out and he celebrates that. And he looks at the older brother, which, by the way, is now us. We are that older brother if we're following Jesus. And he looks and says, are you going to leave the house? Are you going to help me fix what is broken? Are you going to help me with the people who are lost, helping them be found? Are you going to help in what I love to do, this ministry of reconciliation? It's something I want us to think about today. Perhaps that's that whole story that Jesus was trying to drive home that point and urge us to be about the things that he is and seeing the lost be found and seeing broken relationships getting restored. So who do you need to reconcile with? Again, I'm sorry, I can give you no guarantee. I have no guarantee. I have no guarantee. I have no guarantee if you call up that family member, if you reach out to that neighbor, you know, we're like the Hatfields and McCoys and you just keep building your fence higher or whatever it is, okay, I can't guarantee it's going to go well. I can't guarantee it's going to go well the first time, the fifth time, the tenth time. I can't guarantee any of that. I'm asking us, if we care about the things that Jesus cares about, that we would be about this ministry of reconciliation, that God did this for us. And we can have a right relationship with God because of everything Jesus did for us. And then he invites us. You know what would be really powerful? If the broken relationships in your life, you made a step towards them and see if there was a way those broken things could be reconciled again. So we're going to pray this morning because this is a hard topic. It's difficult. I know. Probably like, gosh, Ed, really? You couldn't talk about something better today? It's the last day of the state fair. You talked about, I don't know, corn dogs or something, right? Shouldn't something better, you know? Because, right, I don't want you to sit here and feel guilty. I don't want you online to, oh, I feel guilty. And you're going to walk around all day. I just feel guilty. No, I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to ask this question. Because perhaps there's somebody in your life, and you can make one small move towards them and see what God could do to take what is broken and put it back together again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is hard, difficult, challenging. Broken relationships are hard. And we all have them. We all have them. And we just, at times, just don't know what to do, so we just kind of move on with our lives and try to ignore them, and there they are. And sometimes it's the holidays and different moments of our life that bring it all back up again. Would you remind us who that person is in our life? You would like us to make one step towards in humility and reach out to them. No guarantees. But we're going to trust that you're working in their life just like you're working in ours. And what is broken can be restored again. Just like, Father, I hope we all understand in the room and watching online that you did everything so that our broken relationship with you could be restored. Without exception, there is nothing we can do that keeps us from the blood of Jesus that covers and takes away our sin and makes us right with you. So may we, Father, if we are not, understand you've done everything so that we could be right with you. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then would you show us the people in our life that we can be reconciled to and have a broken relationship restored, all to the glory of God and the goodness of what you want to do in and through our lives. May you work, and as we worship together and sing together, may you work in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.